Anyway, we are going to go to the book of Matthew 21. Matthew 21, if you can, stand in reverence to God's Word. If you can't, that's okay. The Lord knows your heart. Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her, lest loose him, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto the meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and They set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the streets and strawed them in the way. And multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this morning, the opportunity we have, the privilege we have to be under the sound of your preaching and your word and singing praises. And Lord God, we thank you for that. And we ask now, as we go into the message, that Lord, we can glean from it. Lord, as we open the bread of life, that Lord, it will flow into us, and Lord, that we can use it for your honor and your glory, and Lord, that we can realize that there's things in our life that we need to change, and Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I stand here this morning where the arm of flesh has failed me, but I know that your arm will not, and Lord, I thank you for that. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus, and in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. It says here, verse 14, And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye not read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. You remember the commercial, What's in Your Wallet? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, don't leave home without it. American Express checks or something. Don't leave home without them. Well, the title of the message this morning is What's in Your Heart? Don't leave home without a right heart.
Amen.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We're going to go to quite a few verses today, but Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Luke 6, 43. The Word of God says, For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush, briars, in other words, gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, why is the heart so wicked? According to Jeremiah, we have a wicked heart. Why is it so wicked? What defiles our hearts? Let's look at what does not defile our hearts. Go to Matthew 15. I thought we're going to jump around a bit. It'll be good for you. Be like a Bible drill this morning. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Verse 1 it says, "There came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Oh, I like that. That's good. Well, that made them mad. "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Now, I want to stop right there because a lot of people, a lot of preachers, a lot of churches anymore, they're making the cross of Calvary of none effect. They're bringing in works. You got to work at it. You got to be. We're going to baptize a lady this morning. And look, if she dies before I get her in there, where's she going? Heaven. Yeah. Hey, that baptism ain't got nothing to do with it. They didn't pull the thief down and baptize them. And the Lord said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Yeah. Listen, baptism has nothing to do with it. But there's a lot of churches that teach that. The Lord's Supper. Good grief, we're probably all going to hell. We ain't took it in a while. No, it has nothing to do with that, but there are churches that teach that. They teach that, hey, you got to have the Lord's Supperment. Supper. You got to take all these sacraments and do all this hoopla mess. You got to keep the holy days. You got to be circumcised and all of this junk, and you don't. It's all about, do I trust and believe in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's all you need. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Listen, He didn't add nothing else to that. Therefore, there is nothing else to it.
Amen.
It's all about believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that I've forgot where I'm at. He says here, verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did..." Really, that's Elijah, Isaiah's prophecy of you saying, "The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." A lot of people live that way. Boy, they live the Christian life, but their heart is far from God. They look good, they sound good, but their heart is a long way from God. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Oh, Jesus.
Man, that ain't good. I ain't seen nothing, no commandments of men I like very much. Verse 10, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand." Now that's an important thing. He said, "Hear and understand." That's what the Lord wants us to do. "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man." I've had people say, "Well, you can't drink coffee. That defiles you." Dr. Pepper. Well, in California, good grief, everything defiles you. I was reading on something the other day. What was it I ordered for my pickup? And it says the product in this thing has been known to cause cancer in the state of California. I ain't going to eat it. And I ain't going to set it on fire. And I'm not going to sit around and lick the fender in my pickup. How's it going to, you know, it's crazy. Some of the mess they've got just blows me away. He said, now that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. All right, here. Not that. There we go. I got to read it right. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. Bacon ain't defiling me. Dr. Pepper ain't defiling me. Milk causes cancer, from what I heard. Now, I don't drink milk because it gives me sinus issues. It makes it real bad. A lot of you know I lose my voice. Some of you probably take me out and buy me some ice cream today. But that stuff, listen, that ain't defiling you. We've got all these preachers and all these folk, they lay it all out here. This defiles you and this defiles you. Stay away from that and that defiles you. Stay away from that. That ain't what defiles a person. Because it says right here that you take in, I don't have to tell you where it goes. And they got this interesting little tool nowadays. Kids have to learn how to use them. You mash a button, it goes, and poof, makes a deposit in Henderson. That ain't defiling me. It leaves my body. You know, a broke leg. Oh, I've defiled myself. Yeah, I've done that. So it's like, good grief. But the Lord's trying to tell them, listen, this is not the problem. And now, verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know, I've had somebody one time come to me and say, well, you know, that person was offended. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my answer was. They'll get over it. Because God is the one that said it, not me. I'd say Jesus probably thought, yeah, he'll get over it. He called them vipers. They're just liars. They were dangerous individuals. I don't think it mattered to him that it offended them. I think they needed to hear that. Sometimes people need to be offended.
Amen.
They need to get it together. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. I don't know if they got that. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know that works. If you're both walking along out there at nighttime and you ain't got a flashlight, and you walk up on a big limb across there, both of you's going to stumble and probably fall. I got news for you. Blind leading the blind. And he says, verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Don't you get it, Peter? You can eat bacon. You can eat sausage. You can do all of this stuff. Oh, and it ain't going to defile. Charles Spurgeon smoked cigars. He had an unreal prophecy. Campbell, what's his name? I can't remember. He smoked 8 stogies a day. D.L. Moody, over 8. Didn't defile it. It wasn't what goes in there that defiles you. Now, I can give you some stuff that'll defile you, but we'll get into that in a minute. Don't you understand, he says, whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. In other words, it goes to that place they call the sewage plant. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. It's your thought pattern that's defiling people. That's what's going on in people's lives. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Do you ever eat with unwashing hands? I used to be out shoeing horses. And I'm digging manure out, and it's mixed in with urine and mud, whatever's in the creek, and or in Colorado, whatever's in the creek. And you clean all of that out, and maybe get about lunchtime, and I never ate lunch a whole lot because you like this all day long. And you don't want to eat too much.
Yeah.
It'll run back up,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it feels a while. But
yeah.
So I didn't eat a whole lot, but when I did, every now and then I'd get me a little sandwich or something. Listen, sometimes I'd wash my hands because they're pretty bad off.
Yeah.
I washed them in the creek. There's stuff in the creek that ain't good for you.
Yeah.
But I just sit there and eat my sandwich. And then my daughter brought me some of this when they first came out with this hand sanitizer stuff, which I should have never used it because it gave me psoriasis. But anyhow, and that's what the doctor said. By the way, you use too much of that stuff, you dry out your skin and you'll get a problem.
Yeah.
I've got
yeah.
one. She gave that to me and I'm like, so one day I've got mess all over my hands. And I'm like, well, put it on there. And I'm like, well, they're still dirty. She said, Dad, you got to wash them and then put it. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, anyway, listen, the Lord said, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. That's what defiles a man, what is in his heart.
Yeah.
That is what defiles a man. So what does not defile a man? Food.
Mm-hmm.
Your drink.
Yes.
Now, I told you we'll go back to that. There's some things that you can put in your mouth, but they do what to your mind? They start, listen, you sit around and drink some Jack Daniels. One swig ain't going to hurt you. But about a fourth of the way through that, or halfway, depending on who you are, old Sally starts looking pretty good, or old Bob does, and you're like, well... it's messing with your thoughts, which messes with your heart.
Yes. Yes.
You know, smoke a little pot. Everybody got this idea of pot's good for you. Well, and I'm going to be up front with you. Marijuana has done some things for people that's outstanding.
Yes.
But I ain't got a roll of doobie and smoke it to get the same effect. It's called the THC. It ain't the joint you're sitting around smoking. You can get THC in a capsule form. You can get it in liquid form. I know people give it to dogs.
Yeah.
It helps with seizures and things of that nature. But you smoke enough of that, and I can by experience tell you that you think that you're doing great. You think that everything's moving normal, and you're just, oh, man, I'm cruising. And you're going down the road, isn't it? You know, and everybody's choo, choo. It messes with your mind. Drugs mess with your mind. When things start, substances start messing with your mind, you got problems.
Man.
So, things we eat and stuff like that, that don't defile you. What does? Turning from God. Our fleshly desires, our sins. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to give you some things you probably know. The heart is the seat of actions in our life. It's the seat of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It's the seat of our affections, our desire, our doubt, our fear. It's the seat of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You see, hatred starts right there. Before it ever gets a mind rolling in here, what can I do? Which turns into a bad thing. It's the seed of joy, love, lust, meditation, mischief, obedience, pride, purpose, reason, rebellion, sorrow, our thoughts. It all begins in our heart.
Amen.
And what we've got in our heart is going to affect what we're saying out loud to people. It's going to affect how we react to things that go on in our lives. When our hearts are right with God, He blesses in many ways. All right, go to Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. I like Proverbs. You know, you ought to, if you don't, I did this for a number of years, you ought to read Proverbs every day.
Amen.
There's 31 Proverbs.
Yes.
Most months has got 31 days.
Yes.
Most months. There's a few that's got 30. And there's some that are real cheap. That one, it's only got 28. And every now and then it'll steal a day. Every so many years, I ain't never figured that out. That's above my pay grade. You see, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 1 said, "The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Verse 3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established."
Amen.
Verse 6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil."
Amen.
When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? When you're at peace with the Lord, when you got it right with the Lord, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've seen it work. Most folk just leave you alone.
Yeah.
Preachers don't. People that spread the gospel usually ain't at peace with everybody else. And there's a lot of times that I could have been shot. Some of the rest of us could have been shot, but they didn't. The wise, verse 21, in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Oh, back up to chapter 4 of Proverbs. And you pass it up too if you ain't careful. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, now I want you to understand something. This is very important. Very important. This verse, you ought to underline it, highlight it, cut it out, write it on a piece of paper, cut it out, and put it in your pocket.
Amen.
"Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."
Amen.
Out of the heart can cause you major issues.
Yes.
"Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You see, when our hearts are right with God, He blesses us in many ways. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in, and whose hope the Lord is." Then it says in verse 8, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And he shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now, I do realize that the majority of what was just read pertains to the children of Israel, but I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we don't quite get it when we read Scripture. The Lord will bless us in many ways. He did promise the Israelites. He said, "If you'll do this, I'll do this."
Yes.
If you do this, I'll do it. He never promised that anywhere in the Bible to us.
That's right.
He never said, well, if you'll read your Bible and pray three times a day, I'm going to make you rich. That ain't in there. If you be sure to give money up there in the offering plate, everything's going to be cool. You'll be good with the Lord. I ain't found that.
Amen.
I haven't found it anywhere. That's the health and wealth garbage.
Yes.
And if you want to hear it, you can go on TV and you can find, what is that, PTL, and there used to be another one. Yeah, we see how the Lord blessed one of them. He ended up in prison. Wife married some guy three times younger than her age. Wine had told me a lot about him. He's the one that needed glasses, Brother Larry. But you see all of this mess and you're like, what is wrong with these people? But that's what they think. I do this, I'm going to be great. I do that, everything's going to be smooth for me. The Lord never said that. But He did say, bless you. See, we don't always get it when we read the Scripture. So let's see it in this way. I'm going to use somebody. I got the permission to do what I'm about to do because I wouldn't have done it otherwise. The doctors... Well, everybody knows Santino got really sick.
Yeah.
I'm talking like on the shady side of death sick.
Yeah.
They wasn't sure he was going to pull through a few days ago.
Oh, Jesus.
It wasn't good. His mom, you could see it all over. The doctors were puzzled with what's going on. They're like, we don't know. We've never dealt with this. They said this is uncharted territory. They had no idea what to do. But they couldn't put him to sleep to do anything because he was too weak and he had infection. Now, the doctors told Jeffrey the other day that they are just amazed at the pain that Santino endured through this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
They were sticking needles in his stomach to vacuum it out. No painkillers.
Ooh.
No put to sleep.
Ooh.
They were doing a lot of things to him. And they even told Jeffrey, they said, that's his dad, they said, there's adults that cannot withstand the pain this boy went through. They said, we don't get it. We don't understand how he pulled through. Jeffrey told me, he said, boy, when you could see the pain on that boy's face, he said he would go and he'd just sit there.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless.
And
God bless.
He just excruciated, never screamed and hollered.
Mm.
Just excruciating pain. Mm. And they're like, I don't get it. We don't know how he tolerated it. Well, I'm going to be up front with you. I do.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm not a rocket scientist. I know exactly how he done it.
Yeah.
You see, his heart is right with the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, the following is what brought this message to my heart. Gayla told me the other day. And I was on the phone with her, and she told me, she said, when they found out, they had decided Santino's bladder is torn. And it's leaking urine into his stomach, which caused an unreal infection, MRSA. And Santino, I'm serious, he's well on his way to, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to do a funeral for a 9-year-old.
Oh,
I really don't. I've been around little kids and I've had to, but I didn't want to do that. When they found out that Santino's bladder wasn't torn, they walked in the room and they said, we don't know what to do. Santino's bladder is not torn. We ain't got a clue where this is coming from. The kidneys all check out. The ureters are all looking. We don't have a clue where it's coming from. And everybody's like, oh, they're disappointed. Maybe even a little mad. Even the doctors, mom and dad are. I was when I heard about it. I'm like,
yeah.
And then Gayla told me something. that spoke to me and made me feel real bad. She said, Santino said, "Oh, thank you, God, that my bladder isn't torn."
Thank you.
Listen, it did not matter that he wasn't fixed. It didn't matter that he was looking at possibly dying. It did not matter to him that they didn't know what his problem was. What was important to him is that he gave praise to God, the Almighty, that his bladder was still intact and everything was working good. Everybody else is like, why can't you people figure this out? How come we can't figure it out? I'm thinking, you need to do this, do that. Others here were thinking the same way. Santino says, thank you, God, that my bladder's not torn.
Yeah.
He didn't say, Lord, what's the problem?
Yeah.
He just accepted the fact that, hey, this is my problem. It's going on in my body. I don't know what's wrong, but... The Lord bless there, my bladder ain't going. But what do we tend to do? We tend to do everything but that.
Yes.
Why am I this way? How come this is going on in my life? Why can't this happen? Why can't they figure it out? When we ought to be saying, you know, I thank the Lord that we can do what we can do.
Yes.
You know, I believe well, what a lesson from a child.
What a lesson. God bless
you. You know, really, what a lesson from a child.
Yes.
That's amazing. I believe because Santino praised God in the midst of his storm.
Yes.
Didn't complain to God. Praised God in the midst of his storm, that God blessed him with the endurance to deal with the intense pain that he was having and that he was still going under. He was still in pain. He was still swelled up from urine being in his body and the infection he had in his body. But yet he was praising God for what wasn't. Praising God that, hey, at least that isn't tore up.
Yes.
You know, I think we can learn a lot from him. Turn back to Matthew 21. And then we're going to read something again. Turn back to Matthew 21. We're almost done. Don't panic. Verse 15. Matthew 21:15. It says, "And the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.' They were sore displeased. And he said unto them, 'Hearest thou what these say?' Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have ye never heard out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?"
Amen.
You see, that word perfected, by the way, means complete, thoroughly. These children were thoroughly praising God, and it was upsetting them. They were praising the Lord Jesus Christ from their hearts because their hearts were right.
Yes.
They were praising God, and it upset the powers that be.
Upset.
But you see, that word don't only mean complete and thoroughly praising. It also means to mend or repair. You see, maybe your heart needs some mending or repairing today. Maybe you've had the wrong heart about whatever in your life. Maybe there's been some things in your heart that ought not to be there.
All right.
I know there was with me.
Tell it.
I had some attitude yesterday, to be up front with you. Bad attitude yesterday. And it kept coming back to mind, yeah, but thank the Lord for this.
Amen.
Thank the Lord you're able.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord this is... You see, we all got issues. It ain't just you guys.
That's right.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's everybody out there.
Everybody.
We've all got things that we can say need mending and need repairing.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not too late to call on the Lord. We got to do this. Psalm 51. Now, I think most of you know, but just in case you don't, King David went out, and he's on his balcony. He sees this naked gal down there, and she was in the wrong, too. She knew where she was standing.
Yes, she did.
But nonetheless, it's in David's lap. He should have been out fighting, but he had taken his armor off. That reminds you, don't take your armor off. He sees her, and he's like, ooh, la la. Well, he orders her up like a buffet. And seeing how he's king, he was going to nag. He brings her up. They have relationship, intimate. She ends up pregnant. He turns around and has Uriah murdered. First he tried to deceive him.
That's right.
Then he had Uriah murdered.
Yep.
And took the man's wife.
Oh,
by the way, Uriah was kinfolk. It's blood.
Yeah.
Blood kin.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get rid of somebody, but man, you get rid of blood kin, something wrong.
Yeah.
But that's what he did. And Psalm 51 is when Nathan had come to him, the prophet, and said, hey, this has happened. David gets all mad, and he said, we need to kill him. Nathan says, you the man. Ooh, don't you know that bit? Man, don't you know that kicked him right in the chest? You're the one with the wrong heart. You're the one that needs mending. You're the one that needs repairing, David. So 51, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Listen, it's not too late to ask the Lord, Lord, help me with things going on in my heart.
Yes.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Yes.
For I acknowledge my transgressions. We got to do that first.
Oh, yeah.
We got to acknowledge what's going on in our heart.
Yeah.
And my sin is ever before me. Oh, but notice this. Now listen. He wasn't worried about the fact that he killed... shouldn't say it that way, but what wasn't his main concern is that he had Uriah killed. His main concern was this verse right here. Against thee, and that being God.
Yes.
Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, God, I am just sinned against all these other people, but my sin is against you and you only. You see, when we have our sin against people, it's not just against people, it is against God. The Almighty God who created the heaven and earth, spoke it into existence, said, let there be light. Boom, there was light.
Yes.
And yet we're going to stand there and sin against God. But we do.
We do.
Yes,
he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth, and in truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me known, make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't leave home without it.
Amen.
You don't want to leave home without a clean heart.
Yes.
You're going to have a problem. There's a lot of folk that left home without a clean heart that are in prison.
Amen.
There's a lot of folk that left home without a clean heart that are in the graveyard and they ain't visiting the grave.
Yes.
Somebody visited theirs. There's a lot of people, listen, that leave without a clean heart, and the reason why they're in divorce court today.
That's right.
We need a clean heart.
Yes. Clean heart.
He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need the right spirit in our heart. Listen, God ain't done nothing to you. God gave His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins.
Yes.
Things happen to people.
Amen. Yes, they do.
What did poor little 9-year-old Santino do to get what he's got going on in his life? He's still laid up in the hospital. He was still in pain this morning. He's pulling through. But it's taking a toll on his little body.
Yes.
Listen, you can see it all over him. The boy is tired. But the Lord's helping him.
Yes.
God, what did Santino go? Did he go out and curse somebody? Do something wrong? No, things just happen. He ain't mad at God about it. He says, you know what? He said, thank you, God, for my bladder not being torn. And they found out his urethra had a little split in it. You know what they did? They went in there. They finally were able to put him to sleep.
Yeah.
And they cut him open. They went in and put a pick in there that's hanging out, hooked to a bag, and collapsed his urethra, and they repaired it. 8 weeks it's going to take to heal.
Amen.
How long are you going to be in the hospital? I don't know. They're talking maybe 2 weeks, maybe three. Do you know he ain't complaining one time? He just took what the Lord gave him.
Yes. God bless his heart.
Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Now, I want you to understand, once you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. It ain't leaving.
Yes.
Now, in their day, yes, it did. It dwelt with them, not in them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they messed up, listen, they felt alone. But you know what? When we mess up and we get deaf in our ear, we can't hear the Holy Spirit. We can't even feel Him because our heart ain't right.
Amen.
He's still there. But our heart's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like your phone reception. You know, when we get in a bad place, we still got our phone.
Yeah.
But it ain't no reception there.
That's right.
See, when our hearts are not right, we ain't got no reception. And we start feeling alone.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I know for a fact God says, I'll never leave nor forsake you.
Right.
I'll be right there with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation. I ain't saved nobody. It's the joy of the Lord's salvation. The Lord was merciful enough to you to send His Son Jesus that we ought to say, give me back that the joy of thy salvation and help me to serve you the way I should.
Mm-hmm.
To help my heart to be the way it should be.
Yes.
He says, then, and only then, will I reach transgressors thy ways and sinners. Will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am. I'm supposed to be letting people see the light in me, and I'm pitching a dad blame fit and coming uncorked, and I'm sorry all this. What kind of example? Do you think anybody wants the God I serve? No. Why would they? But I'm going to tell you, if Santino had to lay it in there and pitch the dad blame fit, what's the matter with you people? Can't you get it together? You're the doctors. What's the matter, God? What do you think people would develop? Oh, boy, he's a Christian. No. But when they saw they told his dad, we don't understand how he done it. But it's amazed us. Well, we know.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus blessed him.
That's right.
Laid his hands on him. Gave him the strength. Why? Well, when we go back and read that one verse here, let me read it for you. Jeremiah 17:8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, and but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Lord will continue to bless, even though we ain't in the best of shape, even though He's got issues, even though things are going on. If our hearts are right with God, we can handle it.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't say we had to like it. I said we can handle it. I didn't like having a broke leg one time. Didn't like having a busted shoulder one time. Didn't really care for my concussion that I gave myself. But I understood why, and the Lord helped me get through it. You see, when our hearts are right with the Lord, He gives us endurance in our lives to deal with whatever's coming down every day.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come up, we're going to have an invitation.